Hello, and welcome to Geek Speak, where support comes from your membership and from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected. Information found at 948-7992. And also from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com. Also 704-9130. Hello, my name is Marty Reinierson from Bluebeam Interactive, joined by Louis the Computer Guy.
Hey, Marty.
And Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Hello, everyone.
So, Louis, I saw you doing a little web design during show prep there.
Ugh.
You do it all.
I do, man. It keeps me limber.
Awesome.
You know, I have made an observation, though, about... I think that the landscape in the WordPress world has changed a lot in the last couple of years. And,
okay.
You know, because WordPress has become very popular and you used to be able to get, let's put it this way, the functionality of the, you know, free WordPress plugins that you could get and free WordPress themes. Because WordPress has gotten so popular and the demand's gone up so much, the functionality of those, you know, things has become much more narrow. And therefore, your threshold, you very quickly get to the point of like, okay, I'm just going to pay the $49, you know, because it's like that one feature that you really want. It's like they just, it's like dangling out there, you know, like a little carrot on a stick. You know,
it's not really free.
Nothing's free.
Yeah, when I was in the Drupal world, they had like a presentation about what is free.
Mm-hmm.
So free is more, you can be free like in free beer, or it can be free like in free kittens. They have to keep taken care of. And that's why most open source software is. It's more like free kittens than free beer.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because it's free doesn't mean you don't have to sit there and massage it and manipulate it and do all kinds of stuff.
So, that's for sure. Submit bug reports.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yep. But for any of our listeners out there who need some hotshot trucking, you know, stampedetrucking.com. Just saying. So. I've been helping my nephew's got a fledgling trucking company going. So anyway,
that sounds good.
Yeah.
All right.
So there's, have you heard about Facebook for kids?
I did.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure it's a great idea, but I heard about it.
Yeah.
You know, basically once your kids have been their picture's been on the internet 5 times, their face recognition for life.
Wow.
Just something to think about.
So do you think this can be avoided?
So I don't know if it can be avoided, but you'll notice you see certain people like, I don't know, David Letterman's son or a lot of the celebrities, you never see their pictures.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
Wow. So, the product is called Messenger Kids. And it's going to be rolling out on Facebook first or on iPhone first. And I guess... Facebook is bracing itself for a backlash because it's going to be one more thing that parents have to keep a handle on with their kids. But then, you know how many under 13-year-olds there are on Facebook. You know, I'm sure there are really not a lot of good safety protocols in place to keep that from happening.
Yeah, we don't have state issue or federally issued IDs for minors.
Yeah.
So.
I think it should be like a barcode tattooed on your chin.
You know? Right. Yeah.
We have a phone call.
All right.
Hi, you're on Geek Speak.
Hey, geeks. It's Donna. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Pretty good. I was just listening about the Facebook Messenger.
Messenger Kids.
Messenger
Kids, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that we just used the video chat on that, on Messenger, with my mom so she could talk to her brother because my mom was in the hospital.
Ah.
So it was really nice.
And it worked well?
It worked well, yeah. Mm-hmm. It worked really well. So we were able to, go from an iPhone to an Android using Messenger. And it's funny because somebody said, I don't know if so-and-so can do it because it seems like it's too technical. And I said, it's actually really simple. You just open up the Messenger app on your phone, go to your contact, and there's like a picture of a little video camera.
Yep.
And that's all it is. And as long as they're on your Facebook contacts, you know. So anyway, yeah. I just wanted to mention that because it was a really nice thing for my mom to see my nephew.
Mm-hmm.
We also used FaceTime from iPad to iPad, and that was really nice. She could see her brother. But anyway, so it's really great that we have these video options. I will say this. It seemed like on the iPad, my mom seemed to think my uncle was on TV.
Oh, really?
You know, she has dementia, you know.
Nice.
So she just kept looking at it, and she wouldn't really talk to him, whereas I think when she heard my nephew with the phone, she was used to it because the phone was a lot smaller.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? So I think she thought
really
he was on,
is.
Like, some kind of a TV.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so 2001 Space Odyssey, isn't it?
I know, it's true, isn't it? It's like, the other thing I was going to mention, if you guys haven't seen the Google Doodle today, it's a little tech... coding.
Yeah, it's a code one. Thing. It's like a game to teach people how to code.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought it was really cute. And I thought of that because you were talking about Facebook for kids. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's called Messenger Kids. And,
Messenger Kids.
Yeah. So basically allows kids to exchange photos and doodle on each other's photos and all kinds of fun stuff.
But is it public? Are these public photos, like what Marty was saying? Or?
Well, it's going to be, I'm guessing, you know, I'm only guessing that there's going to be a little bit tighter security. You know, I'm guessing there's probably not going to be a public setting on your profiles in Messenger Kids. It's going to be, you know, adding friends and keeping it in a much tighter circle.
Right.
I'm certainly hoping, you know.
Yeah.
It looks like to add the friends, they have to get permission. Not only to install the app, but actually for one child to befriend another child, they have to get parental permission. Yeah. So
I think that's how it should
be.
So,
well, I just wanted to mention those two things, I'll listen to the rest of the show.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Take care. That was Donna Dalton, our foreign correspondent.
Or you could just be a somebody born in 2000 who said that they were born in 1985.
Oh, that would be...
Or 1984.
People do that?
I don't know.
Just kidding.
Probably. Maybe. I think it's technically against the rules, but prove it. Good luck.
Yeah, that would be a little bit creepy, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, this is scaring me already. I don't know about that.
I guess
that.
At this point it'd be 2010, it wouldn't be 2000.
Yeah.
Either.
So. Huh. That's something else.
I mean, there's no verification when you sign up for an account, so you just pick a number greater than the number you want, and away you go.
Yeah. Yeah, somewhere along the line, they're going to have to get a handle on that, you know, how verifying people's age, you know, or not, I guess. It's kind of a dicey side of the internet. So I understand that the Apple Mac security issue may reoccur. Have you guys heard about that?
I heard about that last week. Yeah. What was the whole, is that the root password thing?
This one is dated today. This article.
Okay. I had a friend demo that to me this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just type in root.
Uh huh.
You know, when it comes up and asks you to do something, and you hit enter, and then it complains once. You do it again, and then it goes, okay, fine, no problem.
He's determined. I'm gonna let him in.
Uh huh.
Right?
Yeah. So just type in root and a blank password.
Well, now the cat's out of the bag. You heard it all here on Geek Speak, ladies and gentlemen.
So you should probably, if you upgraded and you had a root password already set, if you've gone into the directory directory access tool and set a root password, that negates.
It won't work.
It negates the problem.
Okay.
So
setting
a root password on your Mac is actually a good thing now, as opposed to just having it disabled like it should be.
Wow. That's something else. So it's looking like you have to download a whole new patch. Does anybody know what the fix is? So I didn't get that far down the article. It's like, here's the problem. I didn't get down to the solution.
I don't know if
yet.
It's been patched yet. I didn't hear about that.
Got it.
But I understood that if you set a root password, that would fix the problem.
Okay. Ah, okay. So the deal is if you patch it and then upgrade to the latest version of High Sierra, you have the issue again. So yeah, I guess we need to wait for a new patch to come out, and I'll just pass it on that Apple has issued an apology. So, saying that our users deserve better.
Free Mac Minis for everyone? Oh.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So the solution right now is just to create your own root password. until further notice.
Which is
we don't want to encourage people to go in and do that because it could get kind of ugly. Yeah. But anyway,
yes. So
and make sure you write it down somewhere, you know, so that you don't forget it.
Yeah. So a root user on a BSD or Linux distribution. So that's Mac OS X or any Linux distribution or FreeBSD. Basically, that user can do anything they want on that computer.
Mm-hmm.
So you can delete files that are necessary for the computer to run. Mm-hmm. It doesn't care. It just says, if you're in root, it just says whatever you want. If you want to delete the boot sector, it'll let you delete it.
Got it.
Anything you want. So
okay.
If you don't know what you're doing, don't log in as root.
Okay. Got it. I'll resist the temptation. So we should give our number out, 970-963-2976. You can call in, and we have a very good, widely represented field here. We cover a lot of different technologies with the three of us here today. So you can give us a call, and you know, even if we need to walk you through jiggling your printer cable, we can do that because we have a lot of experience doing that.
Yes, so. And turning it off and back on again.
Yes, absolutely. It's turning it back on is an essential part of that process.
Yes.
It's a two-step process.
It is.
It's a two-step authentication process.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So somebody was telling me that that the Front Range was getting a Hyperloop. Do you guys know anything about that? Let's debunk this story here.
No, I've heard nothing about that.
Nope. You know what it is, right?
The Hyperloop.
Yeah.
The train.
Yeah, exactly.
That's in a vacuum.
Not a vacuum. It's a low pressure environment.
Yes.
And so it basically simulates like higher altitude travel. So there's a lot less friction.
I thought it was very high, like 200,000 feet or something.
Yeah. Well, let's see. It doesn't really give me the technical specifications of how much the tube sucks. But it's very, very low in pressure. Yeah. And, but the idea is it doesn't suck the train down the tube. It provides a lot less friction.
Right.
And, it levitates on a magnetic.
That's what I've read.
Magnetic principle. Yeah. Okay.
Actually, I heard about this a while ago. Yeah. They're doing just a test of it near the, near DIA. They're setting up a very small area.
Okay.
To do a proof of concept.
Okay.
That the DOT is going to
That might
examine.
Be a good idea, right?
Yeah. They're going to test it first around DIA.
Uh-huh.
Be able to go supersonic. Yeah.
I always wondered, like, yeah, if you built one of those and you, like, happened to, like, the tube happened to go through, like, where there's an iron deposit or something, wouldn't there be a risk that, you know, the train would, like, go in there and all of a sudden just, like, clonk onto the side of the tube? You know, I don't know. Just a thought.
Well, if the fields aren't built correctly, that's what will happen.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so. Just something to think about, especially because I guess he really wants to put them in tunnels. You know, they're going to be the way Elon Musk visualizes it. It's going to be an underground thing. So anyway, well, yeah, I guess it's not the news isn't quite as good as these friends of mine were telling me because they said, oh, yeah, it's going in. It's going in. And it would be going all the way up to like Vail, you know, from Denver or something like that. So. But, you know, chances are we'll probably see it in our lifetimes, you know, or something like that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. They're saying that you could get from Colorado Springs to Fort Collins in less than 20 minutes. So we're traveling at 700 miles per hour. So.
And Denver to Boulder in 8 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That seems like a long time to me, doesn't it, to you? It's just an eternity.
Hmm.
I mean, you wouldn't...
Well, the human body can only take so much acceleration, so...
Yeah.
I mean, and so we're not going to go anything over maybe 1 or 2 G's for a normal acceleration. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of acceleration.
No, they're saying that it speeds up very slowly, very gently, you know, up to 700 miles per hour. So it's acceleration not the actual speed itself.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's getting from 0 miles an hour to 700 miles an hour or... Whatever. Yeah,
it's the gravitational forces on our body.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
So I guess we could, you know, we could get a big memory foam thing you kind of lay flat on and it can accelerate at, you know, 5 or 6 G's so you can get there in 2 minutes instead of.
Sink into it.
Yeah. Yeah. get there in 2 minutes instead of eight. That's just poultry.
Okay, so there you go. Nice. Well, that's I will be watching that project because there's a long history of train fandom in my family, in case any of you guys didn't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah. I have to talk to my dad, who's like, you know, Mr. Train in the Roaring Fork Valley, just what he knows about the Hyperloop.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Any other stories you guys have been following?
I saw that the European Union is going to do bug bounties for free software. So,
ooh, what does that mean?
So they have a program called EU FOSSA, F-O-S-S-A. So it's European Union Free Software Security Audit Program.
Okay.
And so what the big companies like Google and Facebook and other ones are doing is they do these bug bounties where if you can prove that there's a chink in their armor and you show them how to fix it or just show that there's a chink and everything, they will, you know, send you X number of dollars depending on the severity of the security flaw. And so that ranges between a couple of thousand dollars up to, in Google's case, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars
okay.
for the bug bounty. And so it sounds like the European Union is doing the same thing with free and open source software, mm-hmm. Where they want, you know, in this particular case, they want people to go through VLC and see if there's any security flaws in VLC and report okay. it. And then they get a bug bounty of between $100 to $3,000.
So is this... Are they trying to incentivize evildoers to do the right thing, you know, to make it more profitable to do the right thing instead of the wrong thing with the bug information? Is that...
It seems that way.
Am I reading that wrong?
No, yeah. I think you're right.
Okay. Got it. It's called positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
It's good. It's we've been using it on children for years. Might as well use it on...
On adults?
Criminals.
So... Well, people who have too much time on their hands.
Yep. I've always had this vision of people who have time to sit around and hack into things. It's just got to be, I don't know. They got to be pretty bored because it takes a long time. Or, you know,
can.
It takes a lot of effort to hack into something.
Yeah. It's not like on the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reading hundreds and hundreds of pages of documentation. And
well, even worse, in the process, you eat a lot of pizza, you know. I've heard they're fond of pizza.
So like $3,000 worth of pizza. It's like, well, that might not be enough for a bug.
It's like, how many bitcoins worth of pizza is that?
Well, it's like $11,000 a bitcoin right now, unless it's gone
is
down.
Is it?
Yeah. It crossed $10,000 a bitcoin.
Got it.
Late, like Friday.
Yeah. I was watching, I think the latest episode of Big Bang Theory. They're hunting for a laptop that has they bought a bitcoin back in the day.
Yeah,
when it first came out, and they realize that they still have it, but it's on this old, you know, like Windows XP laptop or something, you know, and so they're like this hunt for the laptop. They're you know, looking high, looking low, and you know, they've already, of course, have already planned out what they're going to do with the money. You know, they're all, you know, how are they going to divide it? And then they start fighting about how they're going to divide it. You know, anyway, spoiler alert, but anyway, so.
Yeah, I read about a guy who had a Bitcoin wallet that had like 7,500 Bitcoins because he was an early miner, and mm-hmm. a beverage of some kind got spilled on his laptop and damaged the wallet.
Oh no!
And he sent it to the trash can. Last time I calculated, it would be worth almost $50 million now.
Wow!
Oops.
Yeah. So how long do you have to, you can still mine for Bitcoin, right? Is that the deal?
Right, but it currently looks like it's not economically feasible.
Uh-huh.
It costs more.
You're making less money than a fry cook doing that?
Well, you're making less money than you are power consumption. So your electricity bill is going to be higher than the Bitcoin you mine.
Got it.
That being said, there are still, and I haven't recalculated the economics at $10,000 a Bitcoin.
Okay.
But using normal systems, it's not economical to do that. That being said, it looks like there's some companies that are using browser plugins. So you go to their website, and while you're surfing their website, your computer's sitting there
mining Bitcoin for them
while you're on the website.
That's pretty ingenious. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. When I want to back up a minute. I didn't mean to insult any fry cooks who happen to be listening to the show today. But anyway, it's always a good analogy.
It works.
And yeah. Mm. Well, that's very interesting. I never did quite get the concept of how to mine a Bitcoin. You know, do you have to like get a virtual shovel and pick to do that?
So it used to be that it was built. It was built into the Bitcoin wallet program. So you to have a Bitcoin wallet, you have to have the blockchain downloaded on your computer. Last time I checked, it was 143 gigabytes.
Okay.
Of data, and so the software would synchronize with all of the other software running the blockchain and make a copy of it, and then you have a unique wallet identifier, and you can transfer Bitcoins between different wallets.
Hmm.
And I haven't read into it enough past okay. that, but I'm looking into it right yeah. now to see if there's some money to be made.
But you got to be solving a problem. I mean, so
right. So the money is solving. On the older version of the Bitcoin wallet software, you could run a command and it would sit there and mine. And if it finished the math correctly, then mm-hmm. You have a probability of getting a Bitcoin.
Okay.
And so there's some way mm-hmm. centrally to control how hard it is to mine a Bitcoin. And I've mm-hmm. read some conflicting things on whether the mining is part of maintaining the blockchain and making sure that everything goes into the blockchain mm-hmm. and validating the transactions.
Yeah.
I've read some things that say that that's how that works and others that don't. So I don't have a straight answer for that right now.
Well, it sounds like they've done a really good job of keeping the whole thing very esoteric.
Humble Bundle had a Bitcoin Humble Bundle last month, so I went ahead and bought mm-hmm. that, and I'm gonna read through all the all the PDFs available from
there. Wow,
that's his holiday activities.
Yeah, how many Bitcoin are you sitting on there, Modern Martin?
Zero.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Well, then you also have like Dashcoin and Elysium and. Several other competitors to Bitcoin.
I think they should come out with something called Pizza Coin.
Something I'd be into.
Yeah.
They have dog coin.
And you could only like cash it in, you know, at pizza joints and say, dude, I mined like 50 pizza coins.
Yeah, they do have dog coin. I saw that.
Yeah, dog coin.
Yeah.
And what can you buy with dog coin? Or you can buy anything, you know?
Yeah, anybody who accepts
it's a universally traded currency.
Depends on the exchange. But if the vendor and the purchaser mm-hmm. both accept Dogecoin, you can do the transaction mm-hmm. digitally online transfer. And then there's an exchange rate with the US dollar or some other mm-hmm. established monetary system.
I've been trying to figure out how to weave the B word into all of this talk about Dogecoins, but I just can't come up with anything. But I can't say that word anyway. So anyway, I don't think. What does George Carlin say about that? Is it, you know, anyway?
I think there's only six now, but I don't know which one.
Okay. Well, anyway, I won't say it just to preserve the...
Don't take a chance.
The sanctimony of the airwaves. But, But, you know, pet lovers have got to love that. You know, I got to say that maybe they need to have Catcoin as well because that's my thing, you know?
It would only be fair.
Only be fair.
Yes.
Yes. Equal time for the feline. So, let's see. What else do I have here in my...
Catcoin is currently trading at 4.5 cents per Catcoin.
There is a Catcoin?
There appears to be a Catcoin.
Wow. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad we got
straightened out. It's 4.5 cents per Catcoin.
Okay. Got it. So. You know, I was going to make a really quick plug. Have you guys noticed that Wikimedia Foundation is doing a big fundraising drive?
Yes. I have.
Yeah. So I'd like to encourage our listeners. This is a completely, what would you call it? Bipartisan pitch. But, one of the things that we really take for granted and count on is that when we log on to Wikipedia, we're not going to be blasted with a bunch of advertising. And if everybody listening today logs on and donates $3 to Wikimedia, or to the Wikimedia Foundation, we can basically circumvent being blasted with a bunch of advertising, you know, there. So hopefully I didn't break any rules by, you know, bringing that to people's attention.
No, but I think it's very important.
I have made my donation.
Great. Yeah, if you go to WikiLeaks, not WikiLeaks, if you go
Wikipedia.
To Wikipedia today, there's actually a pop-up screen saying.
Yeah, yep. it'll be at the very top of the screen. It'll ask you what you'd like to do.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
All right. So. Okay, another fine edition of Geek Speak. Thanks, Louis.
Thank you, Marty.
And thanks, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Frog Help Desk.
Thank you, everyone.